Slip that by in your Bible and be in prayer for our ministries and the special needs you've heard throughout the week. We'll turn over again back to the Sermon on the Mount. I want to go back to the text that we had last week and then look at the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, a couple areas. It's amazing to me how, you know, in life, we will endure hardship and difficulties. We'll defer pleasure at times because we really want something. We'll to reward ourselves. I know some guys, they'll go through all kinds of stuff in the gym because they want to bench press a certain weight, and they'll strain their bodies and work really hard. And they always say, no pain, no gain, right? But, you know, the life of the Christian, our walk of faith is, in part, we believe we're going to be rewarded for what we've done. Amen? In fact, what does the Hebrews writer Paul tell us in Hebrews 11:6? Everyone who comes by faith, right, has to believe something. What do we have to believe? Two things. Everyone who comes to God believes, one, that he is. He really is. Is what? Yes, fill in the blank. Amen? Everything that he said he is. He is merciful and gracious. He is true and faithful to his word. He is long-suffering and patient. He is almighty and able to sovereign. He is, I mean, all those attributes. He just is. But he's also something else. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. And so the idea of reward is a healthy thing in the Christian walk. As believers, we should be not just seeking the reward, though. We seek first him, the one who is, because he's the rewarder. And we don't want the rewards more than him. Amen? No, that would diminish who he is, and we would esteem those things better than him. That would be idolatry, right? That's what happens in this world when people focus on the gifts rather than the giver of the gifts and the giver of good things. And so everyone who comes has to have this desire with him. And so when Jesus mentions, you know, blessed are you when you are persecuted and when you suffer, not only yours is the kingdom of heaven, blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely because of me or for my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. As I said last week, you know, when we stop and think about the hardships we might experience, the difficulties we might experience representing being his ambassador, being accused of things because we've chosen to follow him, Jesus is saying to us, listen, don't you worry about that persecution. You got to focus on the eternal things, on the eternal reward. And that only makes sense because he's also going to say later, you know, you can't serve God and mammon too. You got to choose, right? You've got to choose. And he's going to say even over here in both all the Gospels, he'll say, you know what? Store up your treasure where? In heaven. That's where we want all of our reward on the other side. Why? Well, because the things on this side, you know, they don't last. I don't know if you've noticed that. Not just because they're stamped made in China. They just don't last, right? They don't. They rust. They fall apart. They lose their shine. These things fade. But the Father in heaven has an eternal reward for us. And Peter would talk about it over in his epistle. Evidently, he heard the Lord. Remember, he's speaking to his disciples and anyone who wants to follow him. This is the ethic of the kingdom of heaven. This is what it looks like to be a disciple of Christ. This is a way to live, attitudes for life and attitudes that are blessed, a blessed attitude that helps us. And as he's speaking to them, Peter evidently heard him because Peter was suffered affliction and persecution there, right in the book of Acts, right out of the gate, right? They were preaching in the name of Jesus and doing amazing things and were warned and beaten with rods and said, you stop that, don't do that anymore, and didn't stop him, praise the Lord, right? Well, Peter would write over in his epistle, hey, y'all, not only is God giving us a living hope, he's given an inheritance. It's imperishable, it's undefiled, it will not fade away, it's reserved or protected by God in heaven for you. And so our reward is over there, and it's safe and secure. The picture of it's like in a vault, but I don't want you to take that to mean when we get there, he's going to open it up and give us a whole bunch of stuff, okay? Because really, those things don't compare to him, all right? But the picture is that our faith and our faithfulness is rewarded, and we should be mindful of that. Even as he expresses it here, if you don't love God supremely, then you might be looking for the reward, right? Because you think that that's what we're after. The disciples, you know, Jesus says, you know, my servants, those who follow me, how much more will they be rewarded in heaven? They'll get 100-fold times what they've done here. Wow, that seems like a good reason, a good investment, right? But again, don't take that just to mean we're going there for the stuff, okay? The reward, the great reward that we get is God himself, all right? It's as the psalmist would say, the nearness of my God is my reward. That's how we want to live our life. But here's the amazing thing. If you and I will do as he says and live for faithfully to him, live as ambassadors of his kingdom, he will reward it. In fact, that's demonstrated. He'll even mention this over in chapter 6, the danger of playing church. And that's always a danger, going through the motions and putting on a show. That's what the Pharisees were doing, right? And the Sadducees were doing. And particularly the Pharisees, though, when they would parade their righteousness before the people, or what the community thought was righteousness. Praying long prayers, you know, sophisticated prayers, and getting attention of the people, and the people would just celebrate, oh my, what a godly man. Or when they would give, right, they'd take and have a bunch of copper coins and all and throw it in the offering kettle there, and ching, 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 you'd hear the woo, you know, ring the bell. Somebody done giving a big offering, and oh. Or even when they would paint their faces with gloom because they were fasting and they wanted everybody to see just how miserable they were. Jesus will say in each of those instances where they were being hypocrites, they were being hypocrites, right? They were putting the mask on and playing church, playing worship. He says, you know, they got their reward here. But you and I, we don't do that. We practice our faith in secret. Sometimes we pray in the closet. Nobody can see or hear us. Only the Father can see us and hear us there. When we give, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's giving. Amen. And so there's this anonymity in a sense of our gracious gifts and our merciful acts. Like, I don't need the applause of man to see, because our Father sees. And when he sees, what does he do? Rewards. When you fast, you wash your face and well, wait a second. Usually you wash your face after you've eaten because you've made a mess. He says, no, wash your face before you fast, before you've even not eaten anything. Make it appear that, you know, you're not want to appear that I'm suffering for Jesus. No, I don't have to tell anyone that, because my Father in heaven, he knows. And he rewards those. And so over and over again, there's this picture, beloved. Live a life of authenticity before the Lord. Be real and true to him, and he will reward our faithfulness. Y'all, we've got one audience to worry about, and it isn't the person to your right or left. It's not the preacher. It's not the world. There's only one that we have to please, him. And he is the one that rewards us. Remember, everyone who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And what's fascinating is, as Jesus is teaching this to his closest followers, I mean, they would learn that swiftly, quickly, the importance. I mean, you know, hey, the world hated me, they're going to hate you, and they certainly did. They had no regard for them, nor their message, but God's Spirit worked on some people's lives, and they said, no, that's the truth, and we want to follow in that way. But just as God, this has been a principle that you find all throughout Scripture. One of my favorite verses is over there in Proverbs 13:13, which has to do with the Word of God. Those who despise the Word will be destroyed. or in debt to it. But those who fear the commandment will be rewarded. That's the nature of our God. And he is a gracious giver. A gracious giver. Now, the most gracious thing he gives us is himself. As I like to say, when we're praying, as we saw, you know, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And the greatest giving that we need daily is, and forgive us our debts. Right? Amen. Spiritually giving to us the things that we need to be forgiven of. Jesus would talk about this as well when those who are faithful, given talents and gifts and abilities, whether it's 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1, regardless of how much God has given to you, can you just be faithful with what he's given to you? That's all you and I are responsible for is, what did he give me? Don't compare yourself to others. What did God give me, and am I being faithful with that? Because as we do, we enter into the joy of the Lord. We enter into his presence, and he rewards us there in some way. Now again, even there, we want to make certain that we're not living just for the treasure over there. He is the ultimate treasure. It's the joy of your master, right? It's his joy is what we want to experience. And so this is a healthy thing to be reminded of and mindful of. An eternal perspective. Our treasure over there, Jesus would say, right? Over on the other side, Matthew 6:20, storing up my treasures in heaven, valuing the kingdom of God more than I value the things of this earth or what this world has to afford you or afford me. Now, that's a challenge, right? Because this world is always telling us, you know, to get yours now while you can. And so our flesh is even inclined that way, tempted that way. But when we are true ambassadors and when we embody those attitudes, meekness, humility, humbleness, poverty of spirit, when we are a peacemaker, when we are merciful to someone, when we embody those things, you probably aren't going to come across to the world as being someone that's very rich, right? The world would see you and I most likely impoverished in that state because of that choice we make. That's okay. That's what we've chosen. That's the example that he's given us. That's the instruction that he's given us. Loving enemies, doing what's good to them, and expecting nothing in return. Then our reward is great then. Why? Because it just proves, it validates we are children of the Most High God. We're children of light. We're his children. We are representing him. And so I encourage you tonight sometimes stop and think about what reward am I living for and how am I enriching my, not just my life, but my soul, right? We're all going to receive a reward. Now, the reward we get, a lot of times, you know, Christ taught us that, or Paul taught us rather, that there's the Bema seat of Christ, that we're all going to be there one day, and everything that you and I've done, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is going to be laid before the Lord. It's going to be presented before him. Some of it will be what? Wood, hay, and stubble. And some of it will be gold, silver, and precious stones, right? The picture there is not so much you're going to be enriched when you get to heaven, right? It's a contrast so you and I just see, I want to make sure I'm living for the right thing. Eternal values, eternal principles, faithfulness to serve the Lord. And see, the confidence you and I should have is that the giver of good gifts here on earth, he's going to give the good gifts over there. And being mindful of that. Now, every time we experience and receive a good gift here, we're to leverage it for the kingdom of God. It demonstrates a heart that's not, you know, tied down to this world and gripping it tightly and unwilling to let go of it. We're willing to let go of those things for the kingdom and what God is doing. It really is the demonstration of love, right? Selflessness. Putting others' needs before ourselves and because that's what our Savior did for us. And so this promise of an eternal reward, this crown, as we read earlier, for the church in Smyrna who would be persecuted and endure affliction and difficulty, they were ultimately going to be rewarded. Again, that crown was not a diadem crown, a Stephanus crown, one with all the diadems in it. No, it was the victor's crown from running the race and winning. And beloved, I want you to run and win. All right? We run the race looking up there. That's where we're rewarded. That's what we're living for. And so let me encourage you tonight to be faithful and do precisely that. It's not always easy. I'm supposed to, according to Paul speaking to, through the little protege Timothy, told him to instruct the rich here on this world in the present age, not to fix their mind on their uncertainty of their riches, but to focus on God who truly, richly provides us with all things to enjoy. Not just here, but eternally. He will enrich us in ways we can't even imagine. So let's pray tonight that we store up our treasures there. It's a good foundation for us here and there as well. And it's a healthy way to live. So let's pray tonight.